Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Another really powerful hour ahead for you. Well, you know this maybe, right? Our physical bodies can only go 3 days before they start shutting down and they don't function properly without water. In the same way, when we are not filled up spiritually, we are unable to function as God intended us to. Well, my guest today is Karen Schatzlein. She joins me to talk about her book, Dehydrated, Find Refreshment and Hope for Your Soul. There are so many quotes from this book that I've sent to weary friends and family members who've absolutely loved it. And I thought, I just got to get her on so we can talk about it. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Karen is an international Christian evangelist and author who, with her husband Pat, founded Remnant Ministries International in 1997. Karen ministers with passion and fire. Her messages always deliver hope, freedom, and a call to intimacy with the Father. She's appeared on many Christian TV programs, and we're so glad to have her with us today. I've got to read this quote from the book before we welcome her, because I think someone needs to hear it. Dry seasons and droughts are not meant to dehydrate or kill us. They are opportunities for us to get up and search out fresh water. You hear that? Dry seasons and droughts are not meant to kill us. They are opportunities for us to get up and search out fresh water. Drought causes us to thirst for the right things again. We learn that movement is important. We can't linger in the same pool for too long, or the water will become stagnant. Sometimes the well has to dry up, so we'll get moving in a new direction. We need fresh water to grow and flourish. New direction means new seasons. Our seasons of life are not meant to last forever. Dear Karen, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thank you so much. I am so honored to be on the show and just to be able to share about the different seasons in our life that can dehydrate us but don't have to, mm-hmm. that can push us closer to the Father.
That's fantastic. And I want to revisit that excerpt that I read in a little while, but we love to start out by talking scripture. And you offer two amazing passages, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. An amazing promise in Job 33:4, for the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of Almighty gives me life. Talk about those passages, if you would.
Well, those two scriptures have been life to me, especially in this past year and a half. The first scripture, Isaiah 26:3, that says he will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him. What I have learned in my life is that no matter what comes my way, because trials, we're not promised that life will always be easy. And trials are going to come. And God doesn't bring things upon us, but the enemy will attack. And so whatever the enemy brings our way, if our minds are focused on God, if our minds, it's like when, you know, a racehorse, they put blinders on the racehorse so they can only see their goal. That's what I imagine that scripture to be, is that when he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, it's like spiritual blinders that I have to put on my face. I don't look to the left or to the right. I don't look at the circumstances surrounding me. I don't look at the attack. I don't look at my issues that have been dragging me down. I keep my eye on the prize. I keep my eye on the goal. I keep my eyes fixed on him. And because of that, I am kept in perfect peace, and I can walk through the fire. I can walk through the valleys. I can do whatever if I keep my eyes focused on him. But the past year and a half, I have actually struggled with some health issues that I'm actually coming out of. And actually, God did a miracle in my life. But this scripture, Job 33:4, was birthed in my spirit. God led me to it about a year and a half ago. And it says, the Spirit of God has made me, but the breath of the Almighty gives me life. It's his breath that he breathes into me every single day. When I wake up in the morning and take that first inhale of breath, it's his breath that enters my life, that brings life to every part of my being. I don't want to truly merely exist. I want to truly live in the fullness that God has for me.
Boy, two fantastic passages. You know, it's just absolutely true that he does keep in perfect peace when our eyes are fixed on him. That takes some kind of grit because the winds blow and they howl. But on the flip side, don't you feel, Karen, that the more that you do that, every time you come through a storm, having kept your eyes fixed on him, it's almost like you develop spiritual muscle. And then when you get through it, you've also got some spiritual history because you've seen the faithfulness of God. You've seen that his promises are true and you've acquired a new strength as he trains your hands for battle to get through the next storm. There's an accrued strength, isn't there?
Absolutely, because as I said, I had battled some health issues, and it was actually about a year and a half ago, I had a disc rupture in my neck that required surgery. I developed a cough that would not go away that affected my voice, and I preach at conferences, so that was a struggle for me, and I could not get rid of that cough, but in the midst of all of that, I had some blood issues, and they were testing me for bone marrow cancer because of some issues that came up. And so for a year and a half, I struggled with that. But at the beginning of the year and a half, the Father spoke to me standing at my kitchen sink before all of this happened. And he spoke to my spirit, and he said to me, he said, Karen, you're about to walk through a difficult season, an uncertain season, but do you trust me? And that stuck with me as I was standing there and I heard those words, you're about to walk through a difficult, uncertain season. Of course, my natural flesh reaction was that can't be God. But it was what he said next that convinced me. He said, but do you trust me that what you're walking through, I can get you from this point to your final destination of victory? And throughout this entire year and a half, I went back to that moment and I've said, I do trust you, God. And so whatever I face, no matter what I go through, no matter what the end result of these test results are, I trust you. I trust you that you know better for me than I know for myself. And just last week, I went in for blood work, and I knew that I was facing a bone marrow biopsy if that blood work came back bad again. And so I went in. And Pat and I were praying, my husband and I were praying that everything, I had just gotten back from Brazil, speaking at a conference in Brazil, and I went in and gave the blood, and the doctor walked into the office with the biggest grin on his face, and he looked at me and he said, there is nothing that I love more than walking into an office and telling my patient, I never want to see you again. You don't ever have to come back. And I was rejoicing because, see, when we walk through difficult seasons, it's not really what we walk through that counts as much as who we walk through it with. Mm-hmm. That we can, if we walk through things with God, then we can face everything. We can go through anything when we walk with him, when we keep our eyes on him. And he did. He constantly reminded me this past year and a half, I can trust him. I can lean on him. I can walk with him. He'll hold my hand in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of all the things. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what that diagnosis says. It matters that he said, I will be with you always.
So good, Karen. Fantastic. Someone needed to hear that. And I'm thinking it, the worst part of I had a pretty massive health relapse about 2.5 years ago. And the worst part of it, I was curled up in a ball, just so sick in bed. And I had my laptop open and I was watching a Carter Conlon sermon. We've had him on the show plenty of times. I love that man. And he has such a fear of God and doesn't have a fear of man. But he said something so great that I could piggyback off of what you just said. He says, when God allows you to walk through the storms, he said, God's going to get some glory and you're going to get more authority. Like you're going to come out the other side with a greater handle on who you are. And you have a credibility about you because you've weathered another storm. And so like right now, Karen, you know something about the Lord, even that you didn't know before. You know something deeper of him at least, you know?
Yes. I love it because that is what God showed me through this whole year and a half. Because right when the issues began to develop, right when I was facing some of those most difficult times, I went on and I began a Facebook Live program called The Breathing Room, and it's based off of that Job 33:4 scripture, the Spirit of God has made me, the breath of the Almighty gives me life, because here's what I had determined. I'm walking through this season, and there are people out there who are walking through seasons just like I'm walking through. But I wanted to show them. I wanted to show them how to walk through it while I was walking through it. And so I created the breathing room with that scripture, because every week on Tuesday mornings at 10 a.m., I would go on and I would just tackle an issue and use scripture and show people, if you're walking through this, don't give up, keep walking. You know, that the Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So you're going to walk through some valleys, but here's what that scripture means. Though you walk through it, you don't have to be afraid. He's with you. It says to walk through the valley. Don't set up a house there. Mm-hmm. Don't build a condominium there. Keep walking. And as you're walking through that valley, grab as many people as you can and carry them out with you. And that's why I created the breathing room, because I wanted people to see, I know where you're at, I know what you're going through, but let's get through this together. Let's keep walking and keep pushing. And like you said, creating that spiritual muscle and kicking the devil in the face as we go along. I love that.
Come on, come on. We're going to pause here talking to Karen Schatzlein, title of her book, Dehydrated, Find Refreshment and Hope for Your Soul. We've got a few copies. If you are dehydrated, you need a fresh word of encouragement, email to get in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put dehydrated in the subject line, and please remember the mailing address. Now, this book came out a while ago. Karen was just talking about a battle that she's just now come through. But I want, on the other side of the break, Karen, for you to share the season that led you to dehydration, that led you to the material that you wrote about in this book. We'll be back with Karen Schatzlein in a moment.
My life will burn for you, 'cause your light shines in the darkness. I was hopeless, and you lifted up my head. To sing.
I got that song played every single morning in my prayer time. That's Christy Knuckles. Wonderful. You'll have to listen to it. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Karen Schatzlein about her book, Dehydrated, Find Refreshment and Hope for Your Soul. And Karen, take us back to the time when you found yourself dehydrated to the point where the fruit that came out of that season landed in this book. Bring us back to that place.
Well, for the first half of my life, I literally lived in fear and insecurity and that place of dehydration. I didn't realize that that's what it was at the time, but the whole first half of my life, I was a shy, insecure, I felt hopeless most of the time. I didn't feel like I had a voice. I didn't feel like I had anything to offer. I didn't know where I fit in. I didn't know where my place was. I'm close to 50 now. So the whole first half of my life, you know, I felt like, does God even hear me? I felt like I was all alone, that there was just that silence in my life spiritually, until God began to show me. You know, for so long I would look in the mirror, or I would wake up in the morning and I would hear that voice of the enemy telling me, you're not enough, Karen. You're not enough. You don't have what it takes. You don't have the right this, or you don't have the right that. Until one morning I woke up and I realized that there was another voice that was trying to speak to me, and it was the voice of the Father. And what he was saying to me is, Karen, take another look. Take another look at who I have created you to be, that I've created you to be more than what you have settled for, that I'm more than what others have said about you. Not only are you more than enough, I am all you need. And in that moment, I began to wake up and realize that the dry, weary, dehydrated life that I had been living, the answer to that was right in front of me all along. And God was standing there with a fresh cup of his presence, ready to bring life into me again, and to bring me out of that place of that barren wasteland of a life, and bring me into a vibrant, living, flourishing life with him. And it was a wake-up moment for me. And because of that, when I began to write, I didn't know exactly the direction this book was going to go. But one night I was awakened in the middle of the night to the sound of thunder. And I jumped up out of the bed, and I thought my husband had yelled my name in the middle of the night, and he was sound asleep. And I ran to the window to see if it was storming outside. And when I got to the window, it was clear skies, and there was no rain or anything. So I went back to bed, and again, I heard the thunder. And I jumped up out of bed. And in that moment, God spoke to me, and he said, Karen, I'm calling you to write a book that's going to be bring life to those who have been where you have been. And I rescued you out of that, not just for you, but so that you could lead other people to that place of refreshing.
Well, I want to read this excerpt again. I opened the show with it because I think we can get stuck. As you said before the show, we're not meant to build a condo in the valley of the shadow. We're supposed to keep walking, though I walk through valley of the shadow. Hear this, friend, listening today, that if you find yourself in such a season, that it means it's time to get moving. It's time to do something different. And Karen writes this, dry seasons and droughts, are not meant to dehydrate or kill us. They are opportunities for us to get up and search out fresh water. Drought causes us to thirst for the right things again. We learn that movement is important. We cannot linger in the same pool for too long, or the waters will become stagnant. Sometimes the well has to dry up, so we'll get moving in a new direction. We need fresh water to grow and flourish. New direction means new seasons. Our seasons in life are not meant to last forever. Speak to that person who is in maybe a relational drought. They're just worn out from, they maybe developed bad habits, doing the same thing, whatever, but they feel they're stuck in the sameness and they really don't know how to break out of that. What do they do?
Well, I always say, you know, there's a quote that's out there that says, you know, it's a form of insanity to keep doing the same thing every single day and expecting a different result. And so I have to look at that in my own life. When things get stagnant in my life, when things are not going so well in my life, I have to really take a long look at what I'm doing in my life. Am I digging into the Word of God? Am I spending time in God's presence? Am I talking to Him? You know, God wants a relationship with us, and so many people are afraid to go to God and talk with God because they think that they have to have just the right terminology, or they have to have the right, these and thous when they pray to the Father. But really, all He wants is just for you to acknowledge Him, to invite Him into your life. And for that person, if you're out there and you're listening and you're in that dry and barren season, then what I say to you is when you wake up in the morning, when you lay down at night, just ask God to speak to you. Ask Him to show you His love for you. Ask Him just to lead you in. Take just even 5 minutes and just begin to talk to Him as you would a best friend, because that's what He wants to be to you. And as you begin to develop that relationship, creating those new habits of entering into His presence, what will happen is you'll begin to understand and you'll begin to recognize His voice when He speaks to you. I know my husband. My husband and I are best friends. When he calls my name and we're in a crowd of so many people, if he calls my name, I recognize his voice because I spend time with him, because we talk together. The same is true with your relationship with God. When you have the chaos swirling all around you, and the things are happening all around you, the bad and the things that come against you, if you spend time just spending time in God's presence, you will hear his voice in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the crowd and all the voices that are all around you. And you'll be able to begin to recognize when he's giving you direction and when he's calling you to him.
Good word. Karen, we've got about 4 minutes to our hard break at the bottom, about four and a half, I should say. And I would love for you to talk about the different ways that we get dehydrated. Right off the top of my head, I'm thinking we get dehydrated at times from overcommitting, committing to things God never asked us to do. It's always the things, the and then some. You know, we do what God asks and then some. It's the then some that kills us. But as you mentioned, we also can get dehydrated by listening to lies, rehearsing lies, and believing lies. They sap us of strength. But what are some other ways that our souls get so dehydrated that we can maybe guard against and be a little bit more proactive with our lives?
Absolutely, because the things that cause spiritual dehydration, the number one, I believe, is buying into the lies of the enemy. You know, I talk about it in the book from John 4 with the woman at the well. And I talk a lot about the woman at the well throughout the book because I can relate to her, because that's how I felt, is walking that long walk every day of exhaustion. And then finally, Jesus meeting me at that place of desperation in my life. But it's buying into the lies of what the world says about us, buying into the lies of what culture says that we should be, and trying to live up to those things. The woman at the well believed what everyone thought of her. Everyone thought that this was a dirty, awful woman because she had had five husbands and was living with the sixth. But in true reality, if we read the scripture and studied the time and the day that she lived, this woman was not a dirty woman. She was not promiscuous. You know, we can't prove that she was, because in those days, in Bible days, if this woman had been promiscuous, if this woman had been having an affair, and that's what happened with her five husbands, she would have been took out into the public square and she would have been stoned to death. That was the penalty in those days for being unfaithful. So what that tells me is this woman had had five husbands, but she was living with the sixth. It means that there were five different times in her life that she had been rejected, that someone had walked out on her. But she was considered dirty because of this. But in reality, she was living a life of rejection and following into those lies what people, she felt worthless. But on this particular day, she was about to meet the seventh man in her life, because number five is the number grace. It means grace. Number six is the number of man, manful, sinful nature. But the number seven means resurrection and life. So what it tells me, this woman's grace had run out. So she started doing it in man's own strength. She tried to figure it out on her own. The man that she was living with wasn't even her husband. But on this day, she would meet the man that would resurrect and bring back life into her. So for those listening, you may be walking through a season where you feel like your grace has run out and you've tried to do it on your own and you realize that I can't do it on my own. And for you that are listening and may be in that situation, I pray that today you will welcome the seventh man in your life, the man who can bring life, the man, because he said it that well when he met her there. He said, "Give me a drink of water." And then he said, she said, "You don't have a cup to draw with," because he wasn't there for that. He was there to give her living water. He made a point to come and meet her there. And he said, "If you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. If you drink the water that's in the well, you're going to keep thirsting." What he was saying was, if you keep doing the things you're going to do that you've been doing, you'll never be satisfied. But if you look to me and you drink of this living water, you'll never thirst again in your life.
Beautiful. We're going to pause here talking to Karen Schatzline. Title of the book today we're talking about is Dehydrated, Find Refreshment and Hope for Your Soul. Many, many are dehydrated right now. We wish I had 100 copies to give away, but we've got a few. So email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put dehydrated in the subject line and remember that mailing address. When we come back, Karen, let's talk about what it means to cultivate a spiritual thirst. Because in health terms, you drink too much soda, you lose your taste for water. You don't even know you're dehydrated till it's too late. You're depriving yourself. So what do we do to cultivate spiritual thirst? We'll talk about that in a moment. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great conversation with Karen Schatzline, who wrote the book Dehydrated, Find Refreshment and Hope for Your Soul. Before the break, Karen, I just asked you to think about this question. How do we cultivate a spiritual thirst for the things of God? We talk often about health on the show, a background in fitness, and I care about that, and health has been a struggle for me, but it's also been a place of great learning. I'm fascinated at the physical, spiritual laws that intersect the way God has wired us. And in the natural realm, you drink too much soda, you lose your taste for water, and you're dehydrating yourself before your body, before you feel it. But your body is being deprived, and eventually your body lets you know. Say the word, if you would, because I think you mentioned this as we were talking about cultivating time with the Lord, being in his presence. When you slowly, subtly shift away and neglect it, eventually those disciplines catch up with you, or the lack of discipline catches up with you. We're always surprised by it, but our daily choices matter. So that's a big setup, but go ahead and take it from there.
Well, I actually gave up sodas about 3 years ago because I was noticing that I was dehydrated. I went to the doctor, and the doctor was saying I was dehydrated and I wasn't drinking enough water. So I completely eliminated soft drinks, any carbonated drinks, and all of those things out of my diet and went strictly to water. But what I realized during that time is the more water I drank, the more my body began to crave the water, which was what was good for it. Mm-hmm. But when I was drinking soft drinks, full of sugar, full of preservatives, full of all of those things, I craved it. But the longer I went without drinking the soft drinks, my body stopped craving it altogether. And that's kind of the same thing with our spiritual lives. Whatever we spend our time doing, that is what our bodies and our minds and our spirits are going to crave. So what I learned was a long time ago, before I wrote this book, when I was a, young woman, I learned that if I spent time dealing and focusing on the issues in my life, that is what was going to consume me. But if I spent my time focusing on the Word of God and what it says about what I'm going through, and the more time I spent in God's presence, the more clarity I began to have in my life, because I think it's important to understand the short and long-term effects of dehydration in our life, because the short-term effects of not spending time in God's presence or of not having those encounters with God is that we begin to live an emotional life, the constant ups and downs, holding everyone around us hostage to the emotions and the pain of our past because we're only focused on our current situations. And so I learned a long time ago that instead of looking through a microscope, which is what we do when we're anxious, looking through that microscope at all the little details and all the little things that are going wrong, it was time that we have to start looking at a telescope to the bigger picture of what God has for us. I can't focus on that one doctor's report. I can't focus on the one issue that came up in my family. I have to look to the bigger picture of what God is saying about it. But the long-term effects of having dehydration in your life is that our children and our children's children won't know the victory and see the victories that take place in our life. When I was walking through some of the things in my life, I had to say, okay, my children are watching me. They're watching to see how I'm going to walk through this because one day they're going to walk through issues. One day they're going to face difficulties. And I want them to know that there is a place they can go. I want them to know that there is someone they can run to, and that is the Father, that Jesus is waiting for us to come to him. And I want them to see that mom and dad know how to press in. I love Philippians 3 that says, forgetting what is behind me, I press towards what is ahead. I press toward, I don't keep looking in the rearview mirror. I look through the big mirror that's in front of me. I look through the big window that's in front of me, not the rearview mirror, because I can't change what the enemy did in the past, but I can definitely change my destination in the future by running after God and running after the things of him, because I have to realize that in order to have that constant desire to be in God's presence, I have to feed the Word of God into my life. I have to have intentional encounters with God, not just random bump into God moments, that on a Sunday morning because the worship is amazing that I just happen to enter into God's presence. No, I had to come to a place of intentional encounters. And I write about it in the book of one morning I was working out, doing insanity workouts, which is just crazy. No one should do that. But I was doing insanity workouts. And I remember I kept bumping into the little table that was next to me and knocking my water off And my devotional book was on that table as well. And I kept knocking the devotional book off until one moment I bumped into it and I was frustrated, like, oh, you know, I wish I had just moved this out of the way. And in that moment, God spoke to my spirit and he said, Karen, I want intentional encounters with you. And if you would spend half as much time working out your spirit man as you do your physical man, then you would have a much different day, a much different week. If you would spend as much time focusing on drawing near to me as you are trying to strengthen your physical body. And in that moment, I realized what you feed your mind, what you feed your spirit, what you feed your body is how it's going to respond. So I want to feed it. I want to fill it with the presence of God so that when those roadblocks and those issues do come up in my day, then I have a reservoir of hope that I have filled up in my body, in my spirit, that I can draw from in that moment.
Here's another great thought from your book. You said there's something so amazing about waking up and realizing God loves you. He wants to invade your world. He wants to talk with you today. He wants to take you by the hand and say, let's go on a great journey together. You know, this is something we talk about time and time again, God's affection for us. But so rarely does it go in for believers. Why is that? I mean, so many, many Christians will admit, I know that I'm saved, but I'm not free. I know that I'm saved, but I still don't get that I'm loved. It just doesn't feel true. Why do you suppose that is so difficult to grasp?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of people that cannot grasp the love of God because basically a lot of people that may be even listening today, they view God as this ominous, far-off, distant being that he's just up there moving us like pawns, chess pieces on a board. And that's not who God is. He's a father, a loving father who wants to interact with us, who wants to come in and restore our life, to bring hope and peace and joy and freedom. He wants to be that father in our life. And for many of the people listening, the problem is that they view God the Father as maybe they do their earthly father. And they view him as maybe angry or distant or arrogant or maybe abusive at moments, because some people may have had a father that didn't treat them, or maybe he was absent altogether. We live in a generation where, you know, so many grow up without a father figure in their life. And so they view God as they would their earthly father. Then they say, and you, for many, you ask, you say, you know, can you experience the love of the Father? And they think, Father, what is that? I never had a father. And so we have to leave the mentality and realize that God is nothing like flesh and blood. He is a God that loves us beyond our wildest imaginations. He loves us in the good and he loves us in the bad. The Bible says that there's nowhere we can go that can escape his love. And so we have to understand that he has plans for good for us. Just like Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans of a hope and a future. See, that's the end result he wants for us. He's not a condemning God. He's not a God that's just ready to strike us with lightning. What he wants is in our mess. I love it because here is what I love to tell people. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. And so for people who are struggling and they can't understand the love of God, they need to realize that he loves them in their sin and he loves them beyond that. But when he loves them in their sin, he reaches out to them and pulls them out of the darkness into his light so that they can see who they were truly created to be. And they were truly created to be that person that can bring glory and to bring other people into knowing who Christ is. He wants to deliver them. He wants to set them free. He wants to take away their pain. He wants to take away all the things in their life and give them a fresh start so that they can truly live and run the race that he has for them.
All right, here's another excerpt. You said, here is what you have to remember. God will never leave you where he finds you. No obstacle is bigger than his grace, mercy, and love. Every obstacle will change you, but you must decide whether you change for better or worse. You stand between your destiny and your circumstances. You can soar like an eagle with the breath of God under your wings, or you can use your circumstances as a crutch to hinder the rest of your life. You can die where you are or dance through the storm, singing praises to God till your joy returns. I don't think we understand the power of our choices. God has really given us an amazing, incredible ability to choose who will serve, to choose what we'll say, how we'll pray, how we'll give, how we live in the midst of our battles. I think we are good at blaming our circumstances, but really we've got choices, and God's promises are there for us to participate with him in the divine nature. So say a word, if you would, about the importance and the power of our choices, no matter what season we find ourselves in.
Well, I remember, and I write about it in the book, I remember when I was 13 years old. And as I said earlier, I dealt with insecurity. I dealt with fear. I was very shy. I couldn't stand up in front of a crowd and say my name without breaking out in hives, which is so ironic now that that is exactly what I do now, is travel across the world speaking at conferences. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't always like that. God had to deliver me in that and give me that ability to do that and to rescue me. And I'll never forget, because I was 13 years old and I was entering into the seventh grade, and I was terrified. I was going into a school I didn't know hardly anyone there, and the ones I did know just knew me as this shy, insecure little girl. And so I remember walking into the school courtyard, and I sat down on a bench in the middle of the school courtyard that was as farthest away from everyone as possible, because I was terrified. I was terrified I was going to be bullied. I was, you know, and it was just that awkward age. But even beyond that, I was shy and insecure to the point that it was crippling in my life. And I walked over and I sat on that bench, and as I was sat there, I was so afraid I didn't want to look anyone in the eye, and I began to look through my backpack, and, you know, so you just don't look so awkward. And so I remember sitting there, and as I was looking through my backpack, I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I jerked around to look to see who it was, because I thought it must be a bully or something like that, and there was no one there. And so I started looking in my backpack again, looking through it, rummaging through it, and there were tears welling up in my eye because I was so insecure and afraid. And as I was looking through my backpack, I felt a tap on my shoulder again. And I remember jerking around so I could catch whoever it was that was messing with me. And when I turned around and there was no one there again, I heard the voice of the Father. Now, I was 13 years old. I didn't even know God in that moment. But in that moment, you have a few moments of true revelation in your life, and that was one of them. And I remember sitting there, and as I turned around and there was no one there, I felt the presence of God so strong, and I remember feeling as if he sat right down next to me and put his arm around me. And I remember hearing him speak to my spirit, this poor, pitiful, worthless little 13-year-old girl. And all he said to me was, "You're not alone. You're not by yourself. I'm here with you. I know your name. I know everything about you. And if you will allow me to, I will walk this journey with you." And the school bell rang, and I got up and I walked to class. And I would love to say in that moment that I became the captain of the cheer squad or the mm-hmm. president of the debate team. But no, I was awkward and shy throughout my entire high school years. Mm-hmm. But there was one difference. I knew I wasn't alone. I knew that he was going to be there with me. I knew that whatever I faced, that he was right there with me, because I heard his voice. God still speaks today. He still speaks to you, but the problem is that we're all so busy that we don't take time to listen. We all are so busy, we can't break away from the busyness that has kept us from being free. And so we never take time to hear his voice. But he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never walk out on you. He'll never, you know, treat you badly. He will always be there for you in the midst of all the junk. He refuses to leave you that way. That's why he met the woman at the well. He saw what she had been through. He saw where she was right now. But he determined that her life was going to be different having met with him. And after meeting with him, this woman literally ran back to the village, told them about the man who knew everything about her but loved her anyway. This woman became one of the greatest evangelists because she brought an entire city back out to see the man who would not leave her the same. And that's what he wants to do for everyone listening, for everyone watching. You may feel alone, for you may feel like you have no one. You may feel like you're in the driest desert there has ever been. But he wants to be, Jesus wants to be an oasis of a river flowing fresh water in the midst of your dryness, in the midst of your barren wasteland. He says, I have exactly what you need, and I am all that you need.
Good place to pause. Talking to Karen Schatzlein again. Her book is titled Dehydrated, Find Refreshment and Hope for Your Soul. If you feel stuck, if you're in that weary place and your just feet are tired, we're going to talk to you. We're going to pray for you on the other side. Don't go away. More great conversation with Karen Schatzlein in a moment. Song play up. Maybe you needed to hear that. Hold on. Rescue has come. That's Lincoln Brewster. Love that song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Karen Schatzlein today about her book, Dehydrated, Find Refreshment and Hope for Your Soul. You said this, Karen, that there's a reason for every season in our life, but every season must come to an end in order to make room for new life and new growth. And, that's an important word because, again, especially when we're creatures of habit and control and predictability, some people like adventure. I'm a person who likes, I like my schedule. I like my tasks. I like hitting a stride and gaining momentum. And as my friends know who are listening, you know, tomorrow's my last day with Faith Radio, and I'm stepping out into the great unknown. And every season must come to an end to make room for new growth. Not always a comfortable thing, but it's so necessary. So unpack that a bit more, if you would.
Well, I love that because in my own life, I am a lot like you. I'm a creature of habit. Mm-hmm. I'm a creature of routine. And I have a certain way I do things every morning when I get up. But occasionally that gets disrupted. And because we travel for a living, you know, every week, you know, is different. And that took time for me to adjust to that. But what I love is that if we always stayed the same and our life was always comfortable, then we would never grow. We would never learn abilities to be able to get through certain things. And so one thing I have tried to teach my children, our son is 26 years old now and has children of his own, but my daughter is still 15. And so I tell her all the time, I said, Abby, life is a great big adventure with God. Embrace the journey. You know, because so many times we only have in our mind the destination. I have something I need to accomplish today. All I can think about is the destination. But when we go on trips and when we go on, you know, adventures, the actual adventure is just as amazing as the destination. And so different things in my life have caused me to grow. I look back at the different things in my life and the things that I've walked through, and I think I wouldn't change them for anything. The difficult seasons of my life, even this past year and a half, I wouldn't change it for anything. Because I look at who I was a year and a half ago, and I look at who I am today, and I'm stronger than I ever was. I believe I have greater faith right now than I ever had. Because I think about the butterfly. You know, when a butterfly goes in, you know, it starts out as a nasty little caterpillar, and then it just goes into a cocoon, and it has to go into the darkness for a period of time. It goes into that dark room, and it's a chrysalis, and that word chrysalis literally means protected stage of development. And so when we go, everyone has to go through those stages of development. Everyone's going to go through the dark seasons. Everyone's going to go through those seasons in life that either, just like we said earlier, you're standing on the edge of destiny and circumstance. What are you going to choose? when you go into the dark room, are you going to sink into despair and discouragement and depression, or are you going to take it as a moment to draw closer to the presence of God? And I think about that butterfly because when it opens up, the chrysalis opens up and it comes out, it's a beautiful butterfly. But here's what I love about it. One time we were out on the back deck and my daughter was little, and she saw a cocoon and the butterfly trying to get out. And she said, "Mommy, help me open it. Open it up so the butterfly can get out." And I looked at her and I said, "I'm not going to do that, Abby." And it was a great teaching moment for her. And she looked, tears welled up in her eyes because she's so compassionate. She said, "Why wouldn't you help the butterfly?" And I said, "Because if I open that cocoon, that butterfly is going to break free and soar up into the sky." I said, "But then it's going to fall to the ground and it's going to die." I said, "Because, Abby, it's in its struggle to get out of the cocoon that its wings become strong enough to fly." I said, "So sometimes she's been through some difficult things in her life. We adopted her when she was a baby from China. And I want her to know, sweetheart, you're going to walk through some difficult times. You're going to face some things in your life, but it's in the struggle that you become strong. It's in the fight." See, I learned a long time ago, everyone liked, when I was younger, wanted me to be this perfect little princess, this perfect little, you know, child that, you know, everything this way and that. I learned early on, I'm not a princess, I'm a warrior, and I'm ready to run into battle. I may be a princess, but I can be a princess and a warrior. And so we look at our daughter. I had a sign made for above her bed that says, "Awaken the warrior within you," because I want her to know there is a warrior inside of you. There may be a little princess that loves dressing up and playing, you know, tea parties, but when the moment comes, when the enemy comes against you, there's a warrior inside of you, and God's given you everything you need to defeat him. So that's what I want people to know. When you enter in to God's presence, he fills you with a boldness. He fills you with such a boldness and strength and bravery that you can run into the battle fully clothed with your full armor of God on, with the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt buckle of truth, your sword of the Spirit. You can run in. He's given you the tools. He's given you the weapons, because our the Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against spiritual forces. And he's given you every weapon, every tool you need to defeat the enemy in your life.
Amen. Well, we just got about a minute before it's time to pray. And you say that if your life feels more like an empty pit than a life-giving well, if the river's not flowing as it should, it's time to do something. Speak to the person who knows right now it's been insanity to do the same thing and expect a different result. It's time for me to do something. Yeah. How do they discern what that something is?
Yes, well, just like the woman with the issue of blood, I talk about her a lot too. She reached out and she touched the hem of his garment. What she knew was that hem of his garment, underneath his garment, because he was a kosher Jew, because he was he had a tallit, which is a prayer shawl, which is also called the wings. She knew when she reached out to touch him, she was touching the anointing, and power would flow out. And that word power is dunamis. And the word dunamis means dynamite. So when you have a dry well and you need to bust it open so that the water will flow again, then you've got to bring out the spiritual dynamite. You've got to reach in, press in, and touch his presence. Reach out and grab hold of the presence of God so that it can blow out the junk that has been stopping up your well, that's been stopping up that place where you can touch and get the refreshing that you need. But more than anything, for you that are listening, if you have that dry and weary place in your life, then I pray right now that the Father will reach down and will show you his love, that he'll wrap his arms around you. He'll sit next to you just like he sat next to me on that park bench in the middle of that seventh grade courtyard. He'll wrap his arms around you, and that you will hear him say, "You're not alone. I haven't left you. I know your name, and I'm here to walk with you." If you'll allow him to, he'll walk this journey with you, never leave you, never forsake you. And he'll give you the strength and the power to walk out the life he's called you to live.
Karen, thank you for this amazing time today and for pouring out to our listeners. Bless you, dear sister, and I do pray our paths cross sometime.
Oh, I do too. Thank you so much. And I just pray blessing over you.
Thank you, my dear sister. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find the podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord Jesus wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who will keep you strong to the end. Have a really great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.